Miss Damien and Katie Jaroslawski. It's September 13th, I think. Yeah, it was the 11th on Sunday, and it's Tuesday. This is mostly from my notes 5 years from now when I'm cataloging this. This is the fourth one of these interviews we've done, and we've started all of them with the same question, which is, could you describe your, like, transportation diet? It can be during the campaign or when you're not campaigning, you know, pre or post-COVID. Like, how do you get around? And how much or what kind of thought goes into when you choose to walk versus take a bus versus drive or whatever your choice of the day is?
Yeah, so most of the time I drive. I have a 2009 Camry hybrid. It's got 110,000 miles on it. When I lived here, actually, we're in Palms. I took the Expo quite a bit. To downtown. We intentionally moved a block away from my oldest son's school so that I could walk him to school every day and pick him up every day, which is really nice. But most of my trips are by car these days. And as we sort of think about, where we may land next if we choose to move, being near mass transit is going to be a priority for us.
I just want to make sure, just because the truck went by right when you said being near mass transit is a priority for us, that I get that line right.
Yes. Yeah. Especially, it would be great to be near the subway that I could take downtown at least a few days a week. One of the challenges of having three kids now with only two drop-offs is drop-offs and pickups and needing to be able to get them and get them home.
No, we live two blocks from our kids' school now, but we don't know where our son's going to middle school, and for reasons that I'm not going to get into the podcast, we're not sure where he's going to physically be next year. And so that will be a big change in our lives, that one of us will have to do something besides walk two blocks in the morning to get the other one to where they need to be.
Yeah, it's the school transportation challenge is real.
Yeah.
In LA.
So moving on from that, another sort of the easier questions. When we do these interviews, we always let the person we're interviewing pick the location. And usually they pick a location where there's some sort of story or tie-in, or it's in their office. I'm giving the asterisk for this one to Tracy Park because we did it in her office, but her office was a block from my house. So it would have been weird if we had both traveled somewhere far away to do the interview. But everyone else has picked a place with a little bit of a story behind it. We are right next to Venice Boulevard, so the people that are listening can probably hear the cars. So I assume that there's going to be a tie-in with the road diet.
Yeah, so Palms is in Council District 5, obviously. I used to live on Vinton, just south of Venice, a couple blocks away from here, and love this neighborhood deeply. And there's a lot to say about where we are. We're adjacent to a city-owned parking lot that the neighborhood council, the Palms Neighborhood Council, is proposing to turn into a park, which
sounds like it's the parking lot, not the boulevard.
So,
okay.
Well, I want to talk about all of it.
Okay.
Because I think smart transportation planning and streetscape design need to all be integrated together. And, Palms only has one park, and that's insane given the density of the population here. There's a real need. And so I think, building more small parks and neighborhoods across the district is going to be a priority for me, leveraging Measure W funds and state funds to do that. And then also making Venice safer for everybody, for pedestrians, bicyclists, drivers.
And there's the plan that DOT has on the table for Venice. I know as we're recording this, they're still doing outreach on it. It's I believe it's bus lanes and protected bike lanes in this area, in the
Correct.
Area that we're at right now. Do you have any thoughts on the plan or criticisms or supports or anything you want to share at this point?
Yeah, so I recently joined LADOT and the Palms Neighborhood Council for a walk down Venice to talk about the proposed project and really appreciate what they're trying to do here, which is to make the road safer for everyone, to incentivize alternative transportation, whether it's making protected bike lanes. Right now we have an unprotected bike lane here, and cars speed by. This used to be actually a state highway.
And I was going to say, that's good timing, because the cars actually made the room noise just as you said that.
Yeah, so this was, until very recently, a state highway, and it was just turned over, apparently, to the city of L.A., and so it gives us an opportunity to rethink mobility along this corridor, which is, you know, a lot of people use it to get east-west. We're adjacent also to the 10 freeway, so there, you know, there's a lot we can do here to slow cars down, to incentivize bus use, and so I'm looking forward to transforming it. And also, look, there's not a lot of shade. There's an opportunity also to be doing more in terms of mixed use, making sure we're not gentrifying. Palms is one of the last remaining affordable-ish neighborhoods in Council District 5, and so we need to be thoughtful about, you know, minimizing gentrification as we add parks and bike infrastructure and street trees and housing, that we're doing it thoughtfully.
So there's a lot of time and attention being spent on Venice Boulevard right now. CD5 is a big district geographically, sort of, and it's spread out in ways where there's lots of different communities that are involved. Is there other projects throughout the district? We can go through sort of through community by community, talk a little bit about like around the Grove or something like that. But is there some other projects that really jump to mind as some of the big important exciting ones?
Transportation infrastructure.
Transportation for the most part, but I mean housing plays into it.
Sure.
Homelessness and policing is a story that is obviously huge in every race that's happening right now. We're trying not to, it ties in, and so if it works its way into a question or answer, that's obviously more than fine. We're trying not to just focus on that because there's like 8, 10, 12 stories on that, you know, for every story that's about something else.
Right.
But certainly talking about housing is more than acceptable.
Fair game.
Fair game. Better answer.
You know, I was a land use lawyer after graduating from UCLA Law School. It was my first job out of law school. And so I'm really interested in coherent land use planning and how it intersects with coherent transportation planning and climate and sustainability, and really creating livable, healthy neighborhoods throughout Los Angeles, in particular in Council District 5. And so, you know, I see the opportunities as really being twofold. One is to put the density near our job centers, the housing density near our job centers, and near our new metro stations that are coming to the west side. We have several coming through Council District 5 in the next few years. And so as we update our community plans, which is something that I've been talking about a long time and strongly support, I think we have an opportunity to get all of it right at the same time. And so particular projects, I think we need a protected, connected bike network that gets people where they want to go safely and efficiently. And so I think we can build on the Slow Streets program. We can build out the mobility plan. I support a bike lane on Westwood into the village, a bike lane on 6th Street, a good east-west street that will also give us a chance to slow down traffic on 6th, because people drive by very quickly on 6th Street through Hancock Park, and the community, for the most part, is on board with that. I think people are looking forward to the opportunity to safely get out of their cars and just need it to be built. It's one of those, you know, if you build it, they will come. And people are already doing it, but they shouldn't have to put their lives in their hands to do it.
Right, and I think this is one of the things we've, you know, on the scene, CD5 is one of the ones that's got one of the sort of the more famous ones when it comes to community opposition to a bikeway is, you know, the bikeway along the Expo line is very sort of fragmented in CD5. You've got like a protected class one bike path up to Overland, and then a gap, and then a new bike lane / path that picks up in Culver City. And now, granted, the geography's weird for it, so there is that too. But how do we, I mean, this is the eternal question, how do we balance, you know, the need for these larger interconnected networks with sort of occasional or spot local opposition? That balance seems to be the act that every council member ends up having to figure out.
Yeah, and you know, I think one of the strengths I have coming into this job is that I have nearly 20 years of doing stakeholder processes. As a land use lawyer, as Supervisor Kuhl's senior environment and climate policy deputy, and I think that when people feel heard and are heard and have a chance to participate early and often, you can sort of eliminate a lot of that really strong and vocal opposition. And look, at the end of the day, my job is to do what I think's best for my constituents and Angelinos, and you know, not kowtow to a few loud voices on any issue, sort of on any side of the edge of, you know, end of the political spectrum, yeah. And really just sort of do the most good possible while listening to people and, when possible, incorporating feedback to make projects better.
So just to touch on some of the other parts of the district, and you did this a little bit in the bike lanes, like when you look at like the spread out, I jokingly said, let's talk about around the Grove, but you know, you do sort of have that Beverly area south of Melrose, where there's a lot of high traffic streets with low traffic, quiet neighborhoods sort of spread like between the high traffic streets.
Right.
I lived on Hauser once, like between Beverly and Melrose, and it was funny. I go a block in either direction and it's loud and there's lots of traffic, but on my street it was near silent. It was a very sort of strange juxtaposition.
Yes.
How do we do, how do you plan transportation for that area? I don't know. I said I haven't been there in a while. I don't know if cut-through has become a big problem like it has where I live in CD 11 now, but
yeah.
How do you look at that area and try to work with those two very, very different needs in like a very small space?
Yeah, so I live in Mid-City in South Carthay, and people use our neighborhood as cut-throughs all the time, and it's really unsafe. It's also very unpleasant, obviously. I think the vast majority of CD5 is one giant cut-through, and, you know, it doesn't matter where you are unless you're on a cul-de-sac at the top of, you know, Bel Air. Your street is probably a cut-through street, and so and that's frustrating and annoying, and you know, creates real impacts on the quality of life. And I think building out the alternative infrastructure, getting Metro and the subway to the west side, is going to profoundly change how people get around in CD5. And you know, we haven't had something like this since the red car in the 50s, when my mom was a teenager. I'm not going to say how old she is now, but she's
She'll
not a teenager
that.
Anymore.
Yeah. I don't know if she reads news blogs, but yeah, I'm sure she appreciates it.
And I think the goal is to make alternative transportation, whether it's protected connected bike lanes, Metro, the bus, whatever it is, easy for people to use, whether they're, you know, elementary school kids taking the bus to school, or my mom, you know, and people in their 70s and beyond, who maybe can't drive their car anymore, need to get around, making sure that City Ride is available. And so, you know, there's a lot we can do. And I think specifically about cut-through traffic, you know, there are engineering, traffic engineering tools that we can use, whether it's those huge potted plants that make, create cul-de-sacs and block off through traffic. I'm interested in doing some pilots in CD5 to see how we can eliminate some of that cut-through traffic as we build out, you know, if we're going to take away a lane of traffic, how do we make sure it's not just going straight into the one street parallel, right?
Right.
And
I mean, because that's been the critique of slow streets. It's people love slow streets, and if you live next to a slow street and you weren't on it, it's just kind
right.
of like, and so, yeah, in our little neighborhood where we're doing it, that was sort of the thing. When we could open it up and add more slow streets, everyone's like, this street.
Yeah, they knew immediately
which streets were, you know, had been the losers, so to speak, in the early programming of it.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have the chance to fix that long term.
Yeah. And I think, look, it's not going to be instantaneous where cut-through traffic abates. But as we do proactive planning as a city, because right now we're not doing proactive planning. It's all reactive. It's all one-off. It's all ad hoc. The community plans are mere suggestions that are ignored, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think as we start to be more thoughtful about what goes where, and then the transportation that supports that development, no one wants to drive 45 minutes to get to work sitting in traffic, as far as I can tell. And so making it easier for people to have the 15-minute neighborhoods where they can, you know, walk or have a quick bike ride. That's what I'm here for.
Do a time check here. Oh, we're right at 15 minutes, so we're on track. So usually we close with, because these are shorter interviews, sometimes there's something people really want to talk about, but I just didn't ask the right question in time. So if there's something you really wanted to talk about or add or something like that, you know, speak now. This is the opportunity.
Yeah, one of the most exciting aspects to me of the council job is the opportunities for a council member to play a really impactful role in what we're talking about, the intersection of land use and climate and transportation planning, and then having that implemented on the ground. And you know, as a former land use attorney, as someone who does climate work regionally, I think we're gonna improve our quality of life in a really big way as we start to make progress on this. And these are not hugely expensive wins, and there's a lot of money at the state and at the federal level right now to do this work. And so I think it's just being strategic and smart and going after it and bringing those resources and funding streams to the fifth.